today's shiur is in Sefer Bamitzvah, Daf Nun Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, Nun Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Ibailuhu. As we discussed at the end of the previous shiur, and we've discussed this halacha many times, the Torah tells us that if somebody is magdish his own item, and now he wants to redeem it from hegdish, besides paying the value of the item, he also has to add a fifth. Similarly, the Torah says, if somebody wants to, as we've been discussing, redeem Maaseh Sheni, that was his own produce, again, the same halacha applies, he has to pay its value plus a fifth. Ask the Gemara, Iboilu, when we calculate that fifth, Choshem Gav, or Choshem Bar? A question that comes up very often in halacha. Choshem Gav, we'll use the number 16, it's the easiest number to work with. Choshem Gav, in our world, a fifth, 20% of 16, would be 4. So if you had to add a Choshem to 16, it would be a total of 20, 16 plus 4. Chaim Shemal Bar tells us to look at the fifth after, it was already calculated. That means that a fifth of 20 would be 25. A fifth of 20, if we go Chaim Shemal Gav, will be 4. A fifth of 20, if we go Milbar, will be 25. Amr Vina, Toshma. It says in a Braisa, Habayim Amr Be'esrim. Gemara Masechta Erechin. The Gemara Masechta Erechin discusses a situation where I was magdish something, so now it's not my property anymore. It's Hegdish's property, and the halacha is that we can redeem it. But the Gemara is teaching us there's a fundamental difference if I redeem it, or I, the owner, the former owner of the item, versus someone else. Because if I redeem it, I have to add a fifth, as we just learned. And if somebody else redeems it, he doesn't have to add the fifth. And we know, this way the Rishonim put this Gemara in Masechta Erechin in perspective, we always want to do what's best for Hegdish. We always want to see Hegdish end up with the most amount of money possible. So therefore, we have to take into consideration that I would add a Chaymish. In fact, the Rishonim point out, that's why there's a difference. This Gemara Masechta Erechin that we're now going to quote is only by Hegdish. Because there by Hegdish, what's the din of Hegdish? After it's redeemed, who gets the money? Hegdish. And we're anxious that Hegdish should get the most money possible. Maaseh Sheni is not that way. Maaseh Sheni, when we redeem, the money's taken up to Yerushalayim, as we have been learning, and is spent in Yerushalayim. So there is no great need to get me to have more money. And therefore the Gemara is speaking about Hegdish. And what happened is like this. Habayim Omrim Be'esrim, the owner, the former owner of this item, was prepared to pay $20 to redeem this item. And somebody else was willing to make the same bid. So Aloch is Habayim Koidman. The owner's bid prevails. Now Shemesifim Chaymish. Because the owner's bid is not going to really be 20, it's going to be 25. So it's a much better bid. However, says the Braisa, the owner said 20, and the other person said 21. So, says the Braisa, the halach is, let's think this through. The owner said 20, the other person said 25. So my 20, as the owner, is more than your 21. Because my 20 brings with it the chaymish, which is 25. And your 21 is 21. On the other hand, and this is the way we make this calculation, we don't want Hegdish to lose out. And we don't want the basic bid to be a bid that Hegdish loses out. So Hegdish forces me to add one, to up my bid to 21. However, even though I, as the former owner, have to pay a chaymish, Hegdish is not going to be that strict with me. They forced me to add this extra dollar. I wasn't anxious to add that extra dollar. So on the 20 that I was prepared to give, I have to add the chaymish. The extra dollar that Hegdish made me give, that I don't have to give a chaymish on. I have to give the dollar to meet the other bid, but not give a chaymish on that dollar. Esrim v'shnayim. Again, my bid was 20. Your bid was 22. So I bow and noise from Esrim v'sheva. Why? Again, my 20 plus 5 plus 2. Esr v'shalish, if his bid was 23, so the bottom line is Esr v'shmeina. 20 plus 5 plus 3. Besser v'abba, habayim nasa v'taisha, 20 plus 5 plus 4 to meet the other bid. Esr v'chamesh, habayim nasa v'shalosh, the bayim have to give 30. 20 plus 5 for the chaymish, and 5 for the meeting the bid. L'finisha eim l'sifin chaymish, but we don't have, I only have to contribute a chaymish on what I bid. I don't have to give a chaymish, alulu of shazer. But shmamina, what's relevant to us is that how much is the chaymish being considered? 5. Now, if we say that we start with a bid of 20, the chaymish being 5 is only if we calculate chaymish milbar, not if we calculate chaymish milgav. The fact that this price keeps on saying that the chaymish of 20 is 5 is a clear indication that how do we calculate a chaymish? By milbar. Shmamina, chaymish milbar, shmamina. There is a question that the Gemara Masechta Erechin asks. Why when I bid 20 and the other person bid 25, is it not considered an equal situation? Because my 20 is 25 and his 25 is 25. So why does the halacha say that I have to add? Then his bid is equal to mine. Certainly, let's say he were to bid 26 and I bid 20, he wins. So the Gemara Masechta Erechin asked this question, and the Gemara answers that it's referring to a situation that my bid wasn't exactly 20. My bid was 20 plus a pruta, and his bid was 20 alone. That's why my bid of 20 plus a pruta is better for Hegdish than his straight. My bid of 20 is better than his straight bid of 25. Says the Gemara Ketanoi. This question, if how we calculate the chaymish milbar and milgav, says the Gemara, is actually machlokes tanoim. The pasuk of Yosef chamishasa olav shehu v'chaymishay chamisha divrei Rabbi Yosha, which means the 20 plus the 5. We figured the 20% as part of the Karen. That means if we start with 20, the Karen, the 20% of 20 is 4, not 5. Ask the Gemara. Now that we've identified that you have to give a chaymish, where the Torah, as I said at the beginning of Ashir, identified a number of places where the Torah says you have to give a chaymish. Ibrahimu, chaymish ma'akiv, al eidim ma'akiv. If you didn't give that chaymish, is it critical to the redemption procedure? And the Gemara analyzes what it means with this question. Do we look at this process, dala b'dala parak, v'chnafshi moysev chaymish, alma chaymish lam akif? Let's say we start with something that's worth $4, and I'm redeeming it and I have to add a chaymish. So how does the halacha look at it? Does the halacha look at it that the redemption, if it's worth $4, redemption is accomplished with $4? The chaymish is something that the Torah says has to be added, but it's not an integral part of the redemption. Oy Dilma, Abba b'chamisha parak, v'chaymish ma'akev. When the Torah says that if I'm coming to redeem an item that's worth $4, don't look at it as if it's $4 plus one. The price that the Torah requires is 5. Ask Tosis, and this is a concept that's an interesting concept that's used nowadays a lot. Midaraisa, difficult din, but it's the din. You could take an item that's worth $1,000 and redeem it on a penny, on a pruta. And it, halachically, it's not something that we advocate, but it's halachically an acceptable redemption. So ask Tosis, what's the difference if it's this way or that way? The whole money is superfluous. I could redeem it on a dollar. I don't have to give the chaymish, I don't have to give anything, and it'll be a satisfactory redemption. So Tosis has a big chiddush. Tosis says, if when I take this item, and I intend, because I know the strict letter of the law, that I could redeem an item even for a pruta, and I have in mind that the pruta I'm using should encompass all of my obligations, no question. The question the Gemara is asking is, well, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to do what you're really supposed to do. Is the chaymish considered part of the payment, or is it two separate payments, the keren and the chaymish? Certainly also the mefarshim say that let's say we'll say that the chaymish is ma'akiv, and that the chaymish is considered an integral part of the redemption. So just using our example, let's say we have a $20 item. With the item plus the chaimish is worth 25, and I only gave 20, it's not to say that the redemption is meaningless. I only successfully redeemed $20 worth, or 4/5 of the value of this item. But it's not to say that what I did is totally meaningless. Toshma Hadamai. We spoke Amravina Toshma. As we spoke yesterday, Hadamai, Chazal made a gzeira, because there were Amaratzim that did not properly take off Trumas and Maisris, that whenever you buy produce from Amaratz, you have to consider it the Mai. The loch is, Ein Le Chaimish, Ein Le Bia. The din of chaimish, that when you redeem your own maaser, you have to add a chaimish, doesn't apply. Furthermore, ein lo beer. We know that in the 4th and 7th year of the Shemitah cycle, Erev Pesach, a person has to dispose of all maaser or truma that might have accumulated in his home. Either he gives it to the proper owner, to the kohanim, to the levim, or burn it. But he has to dispose of it. That din doesn't apply by the mai. Hakaren, but when you redeem the mai, the value you have to give. So the question is, why are we not obligated to give a chaimish when we redeem the mai? Mai tama, says the one, Karen, the ma'akib b'daraisa, Karen, which is essential by the raisa, isa b'drabonon, so Chazal said that even by the mai, which is only b'drabonon, you have to do the Karen. However, chaimish, the loy ma'akib b'daraisa, Leisa, but the Rabbanan, since it's only the Rabbanan were more lenient and did not require that you give the Chaimish. So this seems to be a raya that Chaimish is not Ma'akif. I saw a very interesting question that the Miches Chinuch poses. He asks as follows. If we say that the Chaimish is not Ma'akif, how does the Halacha look at the Chaimish? Does the Halacha look at the Chaimish as a financial obligation, or does the Halacha look at the Chaimish as a mitzvah? What do I mean? Let's say you had a child on the bar mitzvah, and he owned meister, he owned the hegdish, and he was paid it, and he didn't give the chaimish. And now he comes bar mitzvah. Is he obligated to give the chaimish? If we say that it's mammon, that's a financial obligation, so just because he was a katan when he incurred that obligation doesn't exempt him from meeting his financial obligations. But if it's a mitzvah, and while he was a katan, he's not mechuyib mitzvahs, he's not obligated to do mitzvahs, so then you can't retroactively obligate him in a mitzvah, and even now when he's bar mitzvah, he wouldn't have to pay that chaimish. Lemke tanoi. So the Gemara wants to say, perhaps this is machlokes tanoi. The Braisa says, nosan as a karen v'lein nosan as a chaimish. Rav yoichel. You could eat it even though you didn't give the chaimish. Rav Shua am lo yoichel. You may not. I'm a Rebbe. So Rebbe decides. Nearing the Lezer B'Shabbos, we're going to follow Rabbi Lezer's lenient view on Shabbos. Why? Because in Shabbos there's a din of Oynik Shabbos, so we want you to have the food available. The din Rabbi Yeshua B'chol. And I'm going to agree with Rabbi Yeshua during the week that you may not eat this until you add the Chaimish. Says the Gemara. Mid Omer, so the Gemara assumes, Mid Omer nearing the Rabbi Lezer B'Shabbos, by Rabbi saying that I agree with Rabbi Lezer on Shabbos, it seems, Mechlal, the Fliga Fil B'chol. The Rebbe Lezer himself says you're always allowed to eat it. But Rebbe says I'm going to agree with him on Shabbos, but not on the weekday. And on the other hand, Midam Reb Nir and the Rebbe Yeshua Bechlal, Bechol, the Rebbe says Rebbe Yeshua is correct during the week. Mechlal, it seems that Rebbe Yeshua is saying his opinion, I feel it's Shabbos. That means according to Rebbe Lezer, you may always eat it even though you didn't give the Chaimish. And according to Rebbe Yeshua, you may never eat it without the Chaimish. My labahos for gemifgi. What is the basis of this their dispute? The Rebbe Lezer sever chaimish lemaakiv. So even if you didn't give the chaimish, it's fine. Rebbe Yeshua sever chaimish maakiv, and you have to give the chaimish. Says the Papa Loi. That is not the dispute. Everybody could agree the kulam chaimish lemaakiv. The chaimish is not essential. For hocha, the machloikus is a different machloikus. Because shina lepshuasa gemifgi. You don't have to give the chaimish. But the question is, did Chazal make a gzeira? Did Chazal make a gzeira that you should give that you should not be allowed to eat it out of concern that if they won't make that gzeira, you'll never give the chaimish? Rabbi Yeshua is concerned for that. Rabbi Lez is not concerned with that. Rabbi Yeshua is concerned for that. He's not concerned for that. So I saw that Mefarshim ask a very fundamental question. Mefarshim ask, we have two ways of understanding. The Gemara presented us with two different ways of understanding the Machloikus of Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. One is Chayim Shema'akuvanat. That's one way of understanding the Machloikus. Another way of understanding the Machloikus, as the Gemara just said, is Chashin L'Pshu'usoy Onat. Ask the Mefarshim, what forces Rapapa to prefer the Pshat of Chashin L'Pshu'usoy over saying that the Pshat is that the Machloikus is Chayim Shema'akuv? What pushes Rapapa in that direction? So I saw two answers. One answer, as we're going to learn in a moment, they have the exact same machloikas by Hegdish as they do by Maisa. So the question is, why do they have to have to repeat the exact same machloikas? So if we'll say that the machloikas is chshinan lipshiusai, so we could understand. Because Maisa and Hegdish, as the Gemara will show us, have very different characteristics. And therefore, we would think that maybe here we should be chayish lipshiusai, and here we don't have to, or vice versa. So that's why they have to spell out the machloikis specifically in each case. But if the machloikis is a fundamental question, is chayim shmakov or not, so that in all areas of halach, it's the same shayla. Why do they have to have the same machloikis repeated both by Meisr and by Hegdish? One pshat. Another pshat is the fact that the Gemara, we see how Rebbe goes in such a long way of saying, I agree with him here, I agree with him there. It seems that it's based on a chshash. And Rebbe says, here I will buy into the chashash, and here I won't buy into the chashash. If the concern is chayim shmakov or not, he should say, it is or it isn't. Here we learned a very important principle that the Paiskim use, lahalocha. That if you're doing something that the halocha takes oinik Shabbos into consideration for the halocha, that even though during the week, the chaymish, you can't eat it without the chaymish. Shabbos, we could be a little more lenient. Where do we find this principle applied? I saw a number of areas. One is the following question. The question could come up. It does come up, so unfortunately. We know that when you bake a challah, when you bake a dough, you have to take off challah. What happens if somebody made a dough and they forgot to take off challah? Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mafish challah. So the halacha gives us, you need to eat challah on Shabbos. So the halacha gives us advice what to do. Take the challah you have and leave over a piece at the end. And then at Motzai Shabbos, you'll be mafrish from the piece you left over the challah. There's only one problem. It's most likely time to have the shayla. What happens if you have Erev Pesach and Shabbos and you forgot? Now you can't leave over the challah for Motzai Shabbos. Motzai Shabbos is Pesach. What do you do? So the Paiskim say that even though when we take off challah from a dough nowadays, we burn it. Because we don't know who's a kohen, and even whoever is a kohen is tamei. Here, because it's a question of oinik Shabbos, that you should be able to eat challah on Shabbos, take off that challah and give it to a child, a kohen, who's under 9 years old. Even though it's not al-chatchila diga eitza, oinik Shabbos. Another area I saw it is that the Paiskim say, the Shamitzer Balacha quotes this, let's say there's a person who doesn't eat meat for kashrus concerns. Shabbos, he doesn't eat meat, but Shabbos he could be a little more lenient and eat meat because oinik Shabbos. Although, there's a very interesting gra. The gra says as follows, let's say the only meat that's available is meat with questionable kashrus. It's not a question, but Shabbos, should you eat the meat or not? So the gra says, eat milchiks. But don't eat something with a questionable hashgacha. The Michs Elazar, again using the concept of Einik Shabbos, says every Jew has an obligation to learn Kala Torah Kula. But all of us enjoy different areas of Torah more than others. He says part of Einik Shabbos is that on Shabbos you shall learn what you enjoy. I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky ask the following question. Our Gemara is teaching us that on Shabbos you have this miser that you forgot to take the chaymish for whatever reason. But you have the chaymish, let's say you have the chaymish available to you. What is better to do? Is it better to eat it on Shabbos as is, even though you didn't add the chaymish? Or is it better to take the chaymish and use it on Shabbos and redeem it on Shabbos, that you shouldn't have eaten meiser that you didn't add your chaymish to it. He seems to say that you should eat it and give the chaymish after Shabbos, but he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev, who says, take the chaymish on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakob Moed Behegdish Shechilu, when we're talking about Hegdish, that was redeemed, Hoyel the Gizbarim Taim Nesu B'Shuk, Hegdish has Gaboim, Hegdish has administrators, there we don't have to worry. And therefore, if you didn't give the Hegdish, you could use it, because the Gaboim will make sure that you pay. There's a fascinating Rishash on this Gemara. He makes the following observation. We know, it's a Din D'Oraisa, that if somebody owes me money, the Torah is very concerned how you ask for money, even that's owed to you. The pasuk says, "B'chutz tamid." You're not allowed to go into a person's house and ask him for money you owned. You have to stand outside. Again, not to make him uncomfortable. So the question that comes up is, what about Hegdish? Says Rishash, look at the Gemara's words. The Gizborim, even if it's Hegdish that's coming to claim that you owe him money, they have the same rule. They could only ask for the money outdoor, out in the street. They may not enter my home to even ask for money that I owe to Hegdish. Ask the Gemara over Hegdish like Pligi. There is no machlokes by Hegdish. V'tanya, nosan as a karen v'loy nosan as a chaymish. If somebody only gave the karen and not the chaymish, Rabbi Loza Imer Chilol, it's valid redemption. V'cham Imerim loy Chilol. And Amr Rebbe, nirin de Rabbi Loza by Hegdish. What Rabbi Loza said makes sense by Hegdish. V'divre chacham v'maisa. And what the chacham said by maisa. Mida Amr nirin de Rabbi Loza by Hegdish. The fact that Rebbe said I agree with Rabbi Loza by Hegdish, Mechlal, it seems that he's arguing a field of Meiser. And mid the Kama, near and the Kama Meiser, Mechlal, isn't that an indication in the Pliga of field of Hegdish? So why are we saying that by Hegdish there is no Machlaikus? Says the Gemara, Yitma, Hoch Yitma. This is what to understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Hakam Moed B'Shabbos, B'Hegdish, Shechilo. Everybody will agree on Shabbos, if you redeemed Hegdish, but you did not add the Chaymish, you could partake of it. For two reasons. Chodid exiv across the Shabbos Einik, as we explained before, there's this concept of Einik Shabbos. Void, and there's another concept. We don't have to worry that you won't give the Chaymish, because Hoyel the Gizbarim Toivonai Sevishok, to make sure that you'll give it. The Mishonim, the Rishonim can make a number of points. They say certainly in a situation, and this may be the best advice, where you didn't give the Chaymish, but if there's a Mashkin, you set aside something as security to make sure you give the chaymish. There's no question. Because the concern is chashin l'pshiusai. But there's no chashin l'pshiusai when you set aside something for security. Also say to Paiskim, that even though we're being lenient on Shabbos, as the Gemara just taught us, because of the concept of vining Shabbos, that's only on Shabbos proper. On Erev Shabbos, even Bein HaShemoshes, since it isn't yet Shabbos, we can't be lenient. On Rabbi Chama, Harei Amru, we know what a halach is. Hegdish enem schal al karka. You can't redeem hegdish on property. The rachman of a nosan a kasev a kamloi. It has to be movable. Property can't move. So ask the Gemara, chaymshoy mashi schal al karka. What about the chaymish? Could you redeem the chaymish on real estate? Another halacha. Truma enem shtalam sal manachulin. If somebody eats truma, we just discussed it in the previous year, he has to replace what he ate. It has to be replaced with fruit, with produce that can be. You can't give money. You can't give any other commodity besides food. Truma eni mishtalem es el menachulin. Drachmana amar, because the Torah uses the words, v'nos l'kaidish es l'kain es l'kaidish, dova haroi li es kaidish. Again, ask the Gemara. Chamshay. If somebody ate truma b'shaygig, that the halach is he has to pay keren v'chaymish, ask the Gemara, Chaimshay she ma'ashi shtalam shloim menachulin. Can you use not produce to pay that chaimish? Another halacha. Maisa we've learned, en meskal ala semen. You can't use a slug to redeem maisa. The rechmar amav tzat akasa biyotcha. The rabbis called over shesh loy tzura. It has to be a minted coin. Ask the Gemara, Chaimshay ma'ashi shtalam shloim menachulin. The chaimish could you redeem with using such a slug? says the Gemara, Eskal Gemilso, all these questions were discussed in the base of Medrash, Umatel Kamei de Rava, until it came to Rava for a decision, Amalahu Amakra, Olav, the Rabbis Chamsha Kamaisli, to teach us that the Chaimish has the same din as the Karen, and all these rules apply. And as the Rishonim point out, even though we just learned in the previous Gemara that the Chaimish is not Ma'akif, so how can we say that the Chaimish is Kamaisai, where the Karen is Ma'akif, and the Chaimish is not? So explain Rishonim, there are two concepts. There's one concept, the actual payment. The actual payment, the Karen is Ma'akif, the Chaimish is not Ma'akif. Here we're not talking about the actual payment. Here we're talking about how you pay. And there's a difference between the Karen and the Chaimish. There is no difference, I mean, between the Karen and the Chaimish. The Tzura, the way it's paid, is identical. Amar Ravina, Afan Nan Namatin, we have a brisa to support this psak. Hagoyin of Truma, if somebody steals Truma from a Kayin, V'loyach, but he never ate it. So Loch is, like every Ganif, Misham Tashlum Kefal, but he has to pay the May Truma. The May Truma is cheaper, because Truma, by definition, is cheaper, because it's supply and demand. The only people that can eat Truma are Kohanim. Ochlo, if he eats it, Mishlalim Shnei Kronim, for the Kefal, for Chaimish. Says the Gemara, Karen v'chaimish minachulin, v'karen demei truma. So the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara is as follows. Everybody agrees that there's a difference between the Karen and the Chaimish. That the Karen has to be prepaid with money, and just the opposite. Karen has to be paid with fruit, that produce that could be chulin, I keep on making this mistake. Chaimish menachulin means that you have to pay the chaimish from fruit that can become truma. The keren, you could use money. Now, there's also a question, how do you evaluate it? Do you evaluate it at the cheaper price or the more expensive price? The keren, certainly you evaluate at the cheaper price. The chaimish not. Shema mina, chaimish kemoisa, shema mina. The chaimish is treated like the keren. Amareva, gam gezel ksif, regarding Gezel, the Torah uses the words V'chameshasa yosfalai V'tanan Nasamai as a Karen. The halacha is like this. If somebody says that I owe him money, and I falsely swear that I do not, and then I confess, the halacha is I have to give a Karen, I have to give him what I owe him, I have to add a Chaimish, and I have to bring a Sham Gzeilus. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Bava Kamma, we learned this. Nasamai Sakaret. Let's say you came to me and said that I went through the story. I owe you the Karen V'chaimish. And now you say, you owe me the Karen V'chaimish. So I give you the Karen, and I falsely swear that I already gave you the Chaimish. V'nishbalai V'chaimish. And then it turns out that I lie and I confess. So halach is, I raise a mois of Chaimish al Chaimish. So now I have to pay you the chaimish that I owe you, and I have to pay you a chaimish on that chaimish, because I swore falsely on it, at sheyismana karen pachs mishava pruta. Until it's so low that the chaimish is not worth a pruta. Gaba trumiksiv. Regarding truma, the Torah uses the words, ish kiyachu kodesh b'chshkaga. If somebody eats, as I said a moment ago, truma b'shaigig, darach is v'yosef chamishah salav. So if I eat a b'shaigig, I have to pay. We just learned the brisa a moment ago, Karen v'chaimish. For Tanan, as we learned, the Mishnah says, Ha'echa trum b'shaigig, ma'shalom Karen v'chaimish. And this halacha applies, Echad ha'echa, whether somebody eats truma, v'echad ha'shoysa, v'echad ha'soch. Whether he eats, drinks, or shmir himself. Echad truma tahaya, v'echad truma tameya, ma'shalom chumshay, v'chumsha d'chumshay. That means, let's say, now I designated produce to be the Karen V'chaimish, as I said a few moments ago, that you have to give produce that can be truma to pay your Karen V'chaimish obligation. And now I go and I eat that Chaimish. That Chaimish has the din like truma, and the din of Karen V'chaimish will apply. The Rishonim discuss here the halach of Soch. The halach of Soch is that the Gemara is teaching us that if you smear yourself with oil of truma, it's no different. And Rashi goes at length to explain it, that eating it and drinking it. And the question that comes up is, in all areas of halacha, are you allowed to smear yourself with a non-kosher substance. Because you're not allowed to eat something that's not kosher. You're not allowed to drink something that's not kosher. So what's the din about smearing yourself with something that's not kosher? So Rabbeinu Tam makes two interesting points. One point he says that whenever we speak about soch having the same din of a chil of a shtia, it's only when you smear yourself with an oil, not when you smear yourself with a fat. So let's say you have a soap that's made out of non-kosher fat, very common. That soap is not an oil. It's a fat. It's a solid. So Rabbeinu Tam says that's not also. Furthermore, says Rabbeinu Tam, this halacha that we're treating sicha like a chil of a shtia is a specific din to truma. And the way the Brisker Rav explains Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that the Brisker Rav says, because the Torah says that truma, you're not allowed to have it disposed of in an improper way. If you're Yisrael, you're not supposed to be the person using up the truma. It doesn't make a difference how. But that's a specific halacha to truma. That's why the Gemara Masechet Yuma says that the iser to shmir oneself on Yom Kippur is not the raisa. It's only in a smachta. If we're saying that sicha is like a chil v'shtiyah is certainly also the raisa on Yom Kippur. It must be that in other areas of halacha, sicha is not the same as a chil v'shtiyah. Darach HaShulchan gives another reason why one can use soap that has in it non-kosher fat. He says that since soap, by definition, is nifsa machilas kalav, it's inedible. It's not only inedible, it's foul. So there's no iser on something that's nifsa machilas kalav. So if we combine all these reasons, that's why most people are not concerned about using soap with a heksha. Ask the Gemara. Now the question is, what about a chaymish of a chaymish ben maisa? Ilagab ben maisa, says the Gemara, loy michtiv kosif, there is no pasuk that indicates there's such a chiyuv, v'loy misna tanit, there's no braisa, v'loy ibrayi baylon. It's clear, says the Gemara, that there's no din of chaymish to chaymish ben maisa. Ask the Gemara, gab chaydish ksif, v'magdish yigol espesoy, v'yosu chamishis kesif erkha, v'tnan, and the Mishnah says, "Hapaydis egdeishay." If somebody is paid to something that he was magdish, the halacha is mosif chumsha. So that's tanan. Chumsha, the loy tanan. But there is no pasuk teaching us that if you now go and are paid the item that you used to be paid the hegdish. Let's be a little clearer. I start off with hegdish that I was magdish it. If I want to be paid it, I take another item that's equal to Karen V'Chaymish. Now I want to be paid to that second item. Do I have to add a Chaymish to that item? The Mishnah doesn't speak about it. What's the halacha, asked the Mar? My. What would be the din? That be Truma Ksiv. By Truma the Torah uses the word V'Yosef. That be Kodesh Nami HaKsiv V'Yosef. And therefore, just like we learned by Truma a moment ago, that you have to give Chumsha to Chumsha, so too will be the din by Hegdish. I don't regard the Truma Ksiv the Yosef. Ishak levav the Yosef. The process of Yosef chamishasa olav. So we take the word, the letter vav, that appears before the word the Yosef, the shirasalai chamishasai, and you add that vav to the end of the word chamishasai to teach us havalai chamishasaf. To teach us that there are many chaimshim. Why? Because by truma, as we said before, there's a din of chaymish to chaymish. However, daba hegdish, the Torah doesn't use the word chamishasov. The Torah uses the word v'yosef chamishas. So even says the Gemara, after the kishakat le'levav the v'yosef, even if we'll take that extra vav, which is common in halacha, it's called goin, we take the vav from here, or mesifin, and we put it elsewhere. The shadusle, and we add it as the suffix to the word chamishas, soif soif havle chamishasai, which doesn't indicate that there are many chamish, that there's a chaymish on top of the chaymish. Asks Rashi, you're right. If we take this vav and we put it at the end of the letter, at the end of the word chamishas, we're left with the word chamishasai, which doesn't speak anything about many chaymishim. But maybe we should take the extra vav, asks Rashi, and put it in the middle of the word chamishas,
we will end up with the word chamishiyos. Chamishiyos means many chamshin. So if there is such a method in halacha that I just described called goyin u'mesifin, so let's be nice of that vav, not to the end of the word chamishis, but rather to the middle of the word chamishis, and leave me with the word chamishiyos, which means that I have extra chamshin. Says Rashi that goyin u'mesifin is only acceptable at the beginning or at the end of a word. But we can't take a letter that appears at the middle, at the beginning of a word and put it into the middle of a word. And therefore, turning chamishis into chamishiyos is not acceptable in halacha. Ask the Gemara, the tape clay, the havalei hegdisheni. If I start with an item that was hegdish, was my original item, I was magdishit. And now I was paid it for Karen v'chaymish. And now this is the second generation. Isn't this in the category, the havalei hegdisheni, v'arim b'shur malevi, that the halach is, a hegdish rishin mice of chaymish, you only add a chaymish on hegdish rishin, al hegdisheni ain't a mice of chaymish. So isn't that a clear halacha? Am le rapapa le ravina, hacham ravina, chaymish is always treated ketchilas hegdish tamei. And therefore we don't have the, what is the halacha? My havalah, Om Rav Tumi Mishmei Dabaya, Om Akra, V'yosef Chamishis Kesef Erkocha, Makish Chomshal Kesef Erkoi. Ma Kesef Erkoi, when you evaluate the value, you have to Moisef Chomish, Af Kesef Chomish, Nami Moisef Chomish. Gufo, says the Gemara, Om Rav Yishu Ben Levi, Al Hegdish Rishim Moisef Chomish, on a first generation Hegdish, you Moisef Chomish, V'la Hegdish Sheni, a Moisef Chomish. Which means that if I took one item and then I transferred it to another item, the second item doesn't have the din of a chaymish. Amar Rava, my Talmud, Rabbi Shu ben Levi, that second generation hegdish doesn't have the chiv chaymish. Amar Kra, then a magdish yigal espesai. Ha magdish v'loy ha matvis. Only the magdish, the original hegdish, has the din of chaymish and not the matvis to which it was transferred to. Says the Gemara. If we look at a behemoth tamei, what's unique about it? You're magdishit, the kulul shmayim. Because a behemoth tamei obviously cannot be brought as a carbon. You can't bring a behemoth tamei as a carbon. So what can it be used for? It can be used for bedek abayis. I donate a behemoth tamei to the bedek abayis, and either they use it if they have use for it, or they sell the entire animal and use the proceeds. And that means Rashi said that you add a chaymish if you want to redeem the behemoth tamei that you were magdish. Af kol shetchilas a hegdish v'kula shemayim ma'alamba. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rebbe Elazar Latana. Let's analyze what you just said. Bishlam kulul shemayim. When you said that it's kulul shemayim, l'mauti kachim kalim, that this halacha will not apply by kachim kalim. Let's say I was magdish an animal for carbon shlomim, so it's not kulul shemayim because I get a portion of the carbon. Kivin deisla l'baalim begavayu, so they're not subject to meila. Ela tchilas hegdish. What does the brisa mean when it used the word tchilas hegdish? L'mutimai to teach us. Tchilas hegdish hudas by meila. The first generation hegdish has the chi of chaymish. Saif hegdish, second generation less by meila. Says the Gemara, Dilma, what he meant was only linya chaymish karmet, and he's trying to teach the b'shuv melevi din, but not to teach us anything about chaymish or gaba chaymish. Amalei in, that's what I meant. Hach tamina. I only meant to teach that there is no second generation chaymish. There is no chaymish in second generation. But what the din is chaymish al gaba chaymish, this doesn't teach us. We still have to work on that question. However, Tosfos asks, didn't Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi teach us this din, that there is no chaymish in second generation hegdish from the pasuk of Hamagdish Yigal? Why do we also have to have the pasuk Vim Behemah Tifta to teach us that there is no chaymish on second generation hegdish? Why do we need two pasukim to teach us the same din? So Tosfos says, the pasuk v'im magdish yigal is talking about real estate. That you will magdish a house. The pasuk, or property, The pasuk behemah tameya is talking about metaltlin, and we can't learn the halacha metaltlin from karka or vice versa. That's why we need two psukim to teach us the same din, that there's only chaimish on first generation hegdish. There is no chaimish on second generation hegdish.